This is the Empty Stands Podcast.
Hi, guys, and welcome to another episode of the Empty Stands Podcast. It's the final game week of the season. The 2023-2024 season is finally coming to an end. And we know historically, Game Week 38 has provided lots of goals. Teams fighting for last year's safety out of relegation, or fighting to achieve the Premier League title. This game week, we'll be looking through the matches we have coming up and our thoughts as the curtains of the 2023-2024 season draws to a close. I'm not alone, of course, and I'm joined today by Reward. Reward, how are you doing today?
Hi, Chucks. I was supposed to ask you what you were doing here, because it's been like forever since.
It's been ages.
Yeah, nice to be here. Nice to have you. Thanks for gracing us. It's the penultimate game week, and it's been a long season, but finally it's coming to an end. It's been filled with ups and downs, and I mean, everyone's trying to maximize what they can possibly gain in their mini leagues. Like for me, for instance, I wouldn't say it's been a terrible season per se, because I started really poorly, but somehow I've managed to crawl back to like a 300k rank. I feel like I'm satisfied with that.
The end justifies the means. Doesn't matter how you started, you're where you are now.
I mean, like I said, like I mentioned at the start of the season, I mentioned that I'll finish higher than every one of us. So, and I think I'll do that again.
Well done.
I meant to the leader just ran away and thought, oh, he had arrived, but I feel like he's even last at this point. Because yeah, last time I checked, Ibuka was already ahead of him as well. So. Yeah, it's been a good season, and I'm glad that it's finally coming to an end. Game week 37, though, I mean, almost everyone used up their bench boost. Mine didn't particularly go too well, because I think I had a brain fart, if I can call it that. I decided to have some fun, right? I took a minus 16. But minus don't what? Judge me yet.
Wait, minus what?
Don't judge me yet. Okay. Minus 16. And that's largely due to Richarlison's fault. I'm going to blame this on Richarlison, because yeah, I took a hit to get him in and realized he was injured, and took yet another hit to take him out. And then you won't believe who I brought in his place.
Please.
I tried to be ultra differential and went for Noni Madueke, who dropped. What can I describe what he dropped now? I was going to say maximum points of four.
The amount of points you expect from a single game week player, not someone who played in double games.
And guess who I sold in the first place? I sold Havertz.
Oh, so God.
I sold Havertz for Richarlison, and then figured Richarlison was injured, and then sold Richarlison again for Nani. So if I just kept Havertz, I mean, he gave an assist, and I'm sure he got some bonus points as well. So I could have just been way better off than wasting my transfers. But anyways, 134 points on a bench boost wasn't so bad, but then because I took a minus 16, it's probably terrible. But that's that. We're heading to the final game week. How did yours go too? Because how did yours go? I saw you had like 116 thereabouts.
That's 116. And funny enough, it's one of those special players you bring in when you use your free hits for a double game week. So you're certain this player is not going to give you the single game week player type of point in a double game week.
Yep.
But he did. And that player who I brought in was Noni Madueke as well. Guilty as the same charge.
It's great you're on the pod today, so we can wallow in our tears. I see you captain Palmer though. That was bold.
Yes. So I saw the two games City had. I felt the pressure now is high, and for some reason I've seen it's not consistent, but the noise has been more about Haaland missing in the big games when it really counts. And I thought maybe a KDB, a Phil Foden would be the players who would step up the most in the City side. But yeah, Haaland proved me wrong, and he was decisive in the second game against Tottenham.
Son missed a one-on-one. Imagine how... What do you think? Do you think he missed it on purpose?
I don't think so. I respect the players who put on the badges for their shirts for their clubs and play for the badges. It would be highly unprofessional if it did happen that a player would do such. But then
you saw the reaction. You saw the reaction from Ange after the game. He was clearly pissed. So yes, I'm sure something definitely went down. And I don't think he was just pissed with the players. He was also pissed with the fans and the atmosphere around the whole thing. Like, even the fans wanted Spurs to lose that game just so Arsenal would win the league.
So I think the fans, for instance, I don't think they started out wanting Spurs to lose that game, but so they don't feel bad, they are here trying to stop City and they are not doing it. So instead of putting on a sad face, let's banter our neighbors who, if we had won, would have been rejoicing as well. Let's banter them since there's nothing they can do about it. So I think that's where that was coming from. But it then points for a manager coming from a different environment and not being used to seeing rival fans hoping that their neighbor doesn't win, or when they don't win, spiting their neighbors because they know that would deprive them of getting the title. Your team lost, and that's what you should look at. Your team lost, and you should react to that. And I think that's where those comments from Andrews was coming from. I feel his pain because it's a signal. It's a signal as to the mindset around
team. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It gave me vibes of Antonio Conte because, when he was talking himself into the sack, he sounded exactly like the way Ange sounded. So, who knows? Let's talk about your team, though, United.
Before we move to that, so the twist around that could actually be that there is some... And now saying something like this would sound quite controversial. So I'll say...
Yeah.
Just paint a scenario where a club is deliberately doing that due to some possible foreseeable financial gains, for example.
Okay.
Would you think that's possible? And second, would you think that could speak to the strategy, or should I just say the overall tone at the top within that club?
It just doesn't make any sense because financial gain is tied to your position on the table, right?
Yes.
Spurs need to qualify for Champions League as well, right? If they had won that game, there would have been a chance for them to still get fourth, right? So they needed to win that game to get UCL, to get into the UCL places. But then, who knows? And the players didn't show up and they decided to lose the game. So I don't think it bodes well in terms of financial, because the gain, there's absolutely nothing to gain for them. Now they're stuck on fifth, and Chelsea is now sixth, 3 points behind them. If Chelsea wins their game on Game Week 38 against Bournemouth and Spurs somehow lose to Sheffield, Spurs are out of Europe. So that's their position is not even safe yet. So I mean, why would they do that? I don't think I don't think that's possible, but who knows? Like we all know, it's the game we love to watch, and people like Ivan Toney can tell you different. Like, what was in his head when he was betting? Like, Tonali of Newcastle, same thing. So who knows what goes around that we are not privy to.
It's all good. We're here speaking about assumptions and whatnot. But one thing that's certain is the last game week of the season is right here in front of us. And we have to take a look through some of the key games within this game week and understand the buzz to expect on the last game day of the 2023-2024 season. So reward for the title. It all comes down to both teams doing their part. So first up, we have Man City, who in the first half seemed to struggle against Spurs, and somehow coming up with two goals in the second half to maintain first place heading into the final game week of the season. They're up against another London club. Do you think... And there's an important twist around this. There's also financial benefits for West Ham. Now, people may say this is them, this is financial transactions and whatnot. But if you drill down to the underlying theme around including clauses in players' contracts, you see that it's a gamble, right? Anthony Martial will be leaving Manchester United on a free.
Finally.
And I remember when he was bought from AS Monaco. AS Monaco included a Ballon d'Or clause because they were betting on Anthony Martial in this case, with the amount of potential he had shown at that point, to blossom into a fine player that would make it to the top honors in football world.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. So West Ham, in this case, have a clause where if Arsenal win the Premier League, they are credited, that is West Ham, is credited about 5 million euros.
Yep.
So now you see there is financial benefit for West Ham. Do you think that's enough motivation for them going into this game against Manchester City?
I mean, if I go by... what the Twitter, because there are a lot of fans on Twitter, West Ham fans on Twitter, and they've been bantering Arsenal fans saying, when you guys were beating us, you guys didn't realize that karma comes back around, right? They're not interested, and I can honestly say, I don't think they're interested in doing, even showing up. I mean, it's David Moyes' last game as well for West Ham, but in all honesty, I don't see any other outcome than a City win. Yeah. Funny stat, City have been struggling for clean sheets, right? Before this last stretch of games, right?
Yeah.
They've played three London teams. They're going to play three London teams now in a row. They played Fulham, they played Spurs, and now they're going to play West Ham. Before now, City haven't kept any clean sheets. Like, they've been pretty open. Everyone gets the score.
Yeah.
Score City. And now they have to face Arsenal's rivals, London rivals.
Yeah.
And suddenly they are keeping clean sheets.
I'm taking it personally.
I mean, could it be that these London rivals are... I mean, because they're not even trying to score. Going back to Spurs, we know how deadly Son is in front of goal. I feel like he's one of the most consistent marksmen. Like, Son is very prominent in front.
He calls three people. He's up there.
So, and he the way he just played that ball directly at the key, I'm like, come on. This guy really wanted to score that. He could have done anything.
Yeah.
down the keeper.
He had so much space.
Yeah, he had so much time too. I would never forget the the video of Pep. So Pep was looking at that and held his head and then fell to the ground. Because he thought someone had scored too. But unfortunately, I don't see any other outcome in this game. City, like they've done season after season, once they just go on top, I don't see anybody. Yeah, they're not losing any other game. This is the last game, final game of the season. I know it's David Moyes's last game at West Ham, but nah, I don't see the 5 million motivation. I don't think it's enough. It won't stop City from winning the league. Yeah, too bad Arsenal. I don't think they bottled it this time around. I mean, yeah, they were on top. They were on top for a while, and then they had to lose to Villa, right?
So people would argue that Liverpool bottled it, not Arsenal, since they were there longer. But
yeah,
if it was City, definitely say they bottled it. So
yeah,
if anything happens come game week 38, that is not in favor of City, we'll definitely say they bottled it.
Yeah, I agree.
So in the weird occasion or strange occasion that City do draw or lose West Ham,
okay, it would
then be in Arsenal's hands as they welcome Everton.
Yep.
Do you think they have what it takes? If you notice in the game against United, it felt very close. It didn't look like the Arsenal side.
I thought they were going to wallop United, but then... So it just shows me... It just shows the mentality differences. Like, if United really wanted... Because United had lots of chances in that game. If they were serious, they could have scored. And then it could have been yet another story similar to last season where Arsenal bottled it again. So it just speaks to the mentality. So Everton don't have anything to play for. They're safe. They're on the beach. So I see this as a straight Arsenal win. I don't think Sean Dyche's men, I don't think they are stopping Arsenal. So, I mean, for anyone playing the game, make sure you have your three Arsenal assets, mostly the two defensive guys, Gabriel and Saliba, because those guys have been on a roll when it comes to clean sheet points as well. So, straight Arsenal win. It remains to be seen if, I mean, Saka always plays. He gets injured and then there are rumors he's out. But then he plays again. So I guess Saka he'll play again as usual. But if you don't have, because I know lots of people took Saka out in their wildcard teams or when they wildcarded. So I'm sure most people won't have Saka. But if I was to go for an Arsenal player, and I'll probably go with Kai Havertz rather than Arsenal. He's banging form. I mean, when he's not scoring, he's assisting Trossard. Trossard is another guy who's like really banging form too. So I struggle to see Saka as the best Arsenal asset now. I'll probably pick Havertz over him. Yeah.
Interesting. So we'll leave it at that point, because it's going to be, those two games are going to be games to watch and keep an eye on as the final curtain is drawn on the season. And someone's curtain that is also being drawn, an era that is coming to an end, is Klopp's reign at Liverpool. Some people argue that the 7 years has not provided enough silverware to be termed a successful campaign or final campaign. What do you think of, what do you make of Klopp's last season in Liverpool?
I mean, City still have the 115 charges against them. So who knows in the future? All these titles could be Liverpool's, but that remains to be seen. But I think Klopp has been magnificent for Liverpool. Like, he's been everything. And what better motivation do you need than in front of the Anfield crowd to send him off? So Liverpool have been really good at home all season, and I feel like this should be like a walk in the park for them. Wolves have nothing to play for. They are on the beach as well. So this could also be Salah's last game for Liverpool. So I see him doing a lot of damage in this game. So if you don't have Liverpool assets, I suggest you. Liverpool ideally typically always score a lot of goals on the last game week of the season. So this match screams goals. And yeah, if we know Klopp, he's going to get the send off he deserves. So yeah, I'm just worried about Liverpool because Anslot.
We're definitely going to talk more about that. We have another.
We'll talk about that. Like, Liverpool will definitely go through what Chelsea went through
with Anslot.
So let's see. But definitely, this is going to be a great game to watch. Lots of goals. Salah, maybe Salah hat trick. Who knows? One for the road.
one for the road, definitely. And over at the other side in London, where we have Chelsea and Tottenham, it seems all is going to be played for final European slots. Chelsea hosts Bournemouth, and we have Tottenham taking on already relegated Sheffield United. I know what your expectations are, Reward, since you're a Chelsea
fan. I'm not sure you do.
But tell us, as it is, what should we expect in these two games? How do you think it's going to play out?
I'll start by saying I'm not an Arsenal fan. So I'm not delusional with my hope. I believe Spurs should be able to beat Sheffield. They are the worst team in the league. They're relegated. So, I mean, that should be an easy victory for Spurs. So, yeah, they should have that fifth place easily. Yeah. The fact that Chelsea is 3 points behind Spurs, though, that isn't talked about enough. At some point, it was like 16 points. Spurs were ahead of Chelsea by like 16 points, but somehow Poch has managed to rally this Chelsea. Everybody knows I'm extremely biased and I don't like Poch. but I mean, credit must be given where credit is due. He's done a brilliant job the second half of the season to bring Chelsea back into fighting for Europe. Like, yeah. I honestly didn't see this coming. So the fact that he's even gotten up to six is applaudable. So kudos to him. United did Chelsea a favor by beating Newcastle. I also didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming, but Chelsea is six, and I feel like they should be able to beat Bournemouth at home. At home, Chelsea haven't lost any game at home this second half of the season. That's how good they've been. Cole Palmer has been, I mean, I don't think there's anything else we can say more about Cole Palmer. He's been that guy. He's him. So when we get to captains, we can even talk about that. He has a great shout. I feel like most people will even captain him over Haaland this game week, because at home, he's a beast. For other assets, Chelsea assets, I mean, we both have Nonny Madueke. Honestly, I feel like flinging him away.
I've not told him, but he's definitely going. Definitely.
I feel like flinging him out of my team. I didn't even know what I was thinking when I got him. Again, to my terrible game week 37, I sold Gusto because I felt... he won't play in both games. I mean, Rich James was back for 2 minutes. And then I needed a Chelsea asset. I mean, I could have just left Gusto, who managed to get an assist and clean sheet. He got subbed off before Welbeck got a goal back, so he got the clean sheet points. So I don't have Gusto anymore. Cucurella has been good, but I'm not sure. I don't know if Chelsea will get a clean sheet in this game, but yeah, he could go for the Chelsea defense. I have Petrovic in goal, so, and he's been okay as well. Jackson. What can we say about Jackson? He's Jackson. He scores the supposedly difficult chances and somehow manages to mess up easy one-on-ones. But yeah, that's the Rolls Royce of a player that we have in Jackson. So I feel like, yeah, Jackson is a good shout in this game. There could be lots of goals in this game against Bournemouth. Bournemouth are on the beach, have absolutely nothing to play for. So triple Chelsea as well, because they are fighting for something. They're fighting for Europe. Yeah. If United beats City in the FA Cup, Chelsea will miss out on Europa League, right? So yeah. Chelsea definitely needs to, they need to try and get to fifth. So, and that they can only do that by winning this game. Spurs, I don't know. I know Sheffield will definitely score Spurs because they're at home. And that's their last game in front of their fans in the league. So they'll try to put on a show. But I think Spurs should do enough to win that game. But I wouldn't be buying any Spurs players this game because they look even, like they're done.
Even your favorite, Charlison.
he could have been a great differential, but I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, when we get to differentials, we'll talk about that. I was going to suggest Nkunku, but yeah, we'll get to that.
I think we can just jump right into differentials since we are here. Okay. For game week 38, who is that player that not everyone is looking at that we should get in our teams?
I like the looks of Trent. He's still 10% owned at this time. Like I mentioned, Liverpool score lots of goals on the final game week of the season. So Trent is back. He's had like 10 shots on goal and 6 chances created in the last 3 games. Up against the struggling Wolves, I feel like that's, maybe a clean sheet and he could score or give an assist. So the fact that he's only 10% owned is mind-blowing. I mentioned Trossard earlier. He's 6.5 million. He started all of Arsenal's last 5 games. He scored 4 goals. He's been somehow prolific. And this is a must-win game for Arsenal if they really want to win the league against Everton, who have little or nothing to play for. So he's just 2.5% owned. So Trossard is, a really good pick. I mentioned Nkunku earlier. Modric got concussed in the last game against Brighton. How Lamptey never got, he didn't even get a yellow card for that. That's beyond me. Like, I don't know how that happens. But then, I'm not comparing, but the fact that James got red carded for that and Lamptey didn't even get a yellow card for giving someone a concussion. I mean, Nkunku, I feel like Nkunku would start this game. And we saw what he could do in the few minutes he came on. Nkunku he's had a horrid season. I felt so bad or so happy this time around when he finally scored and saw that blue ballon celebration. So Nkunku can be a great differential this game week. I really like the looks of him. Cody Gakpo for Liverpool as well. He started all of Liverpool's last 5 games. I don't know why it took Klopp forever to figure out that Darwin Nunes isn't that guy. Darwin Nunes is just... Gakpo has got 2 goals and 2 assists in the last 4 games. Yeah. So with Liverpool going out on the bank, sending Klopp off, I feel like he's a good shout. He's also 2.5% owned. I like the Palace guys, the Crystal Palace guys, Olise, Mateta. They're also really good shouts. Under this, their new coach, they've been amazing. And against the Villa side, who have all but guaranteed Champions League, I don't think they have anything to play for. So Palace guys could be nice differentials as well.
Okay, It's a good approach, and like you mentioned, I think I'm really excited to see what Nkunku has offered to this Chelsea side, because the two times he came on in game week 30, the double game week 37, you could see that spark within the attack of Chelsea. Chelsea became a threat instantly whenever he was on the pitch. So I'm excited about that, and I think that is a differential to I'll really look out for instead of the other guy. And in this final game week, reward, are there any specific teams you should be targeting for whatever reason, and which assets, aside from the key ones we've discussed, Chelsea, Arsenal, City, which other teams are we looking at?
So maybe Burnley, Forest. I know Burnley are all but relegated, but Forest, they have pretty good players. Hudson-Odoi, Gibbs White, Chris Wood, they could go on a riot there. So they could really come good. I mentioned the Palace players at home against Villa. I feel like that's a definite win for them with lots of goals. Brentford, Newcastle. That should probably be Ivan Toney's last game as well. So, yeah, if you want to go there, why not? And Mbeumo has been a good shout as well. But aside that, I don't see any of the other teams. One thing we know for sure is that there will be lots of goals this last game. In typical fashion. So I'll just encourage managers to enjoy it. If you're chasing your mini leagues, just have some fun. If you're trying to hold rank, maybe you just want to play it safe. But if your season is done like mine, just have some fun and go for some fun punts.
I think it's what FPL is all about. It's all about having fun until you find out you have the potential to win something in the overall prize.
Yep.
Till then, I don't think I'm going to be taking it overly serious. I'll put in enough work, but not overly serious, of course. And in this final game week 38, I just wonder who would have the honors of wearing the armband for, who's the favorite candidate to have the armband in our teams?
It's obviously Haaland against West Ham. They're fighting for the title. I mean, they have to win. So, yeah, Haaland is the guy. But then I look at Cole Palmer, he has the highest points in FPL, by the way. And he's been so good at home for Chelsea. So I'm just like, should I go different and just go with and go with Palmer? Because he hasn't blanked in a very long time. And he does really well at home. Remember the last game against Everton where he had 26 points? The game against United, he had 20 points. The game against Burnley, 15, Newcastle, 13. So he scores really high, double-digit scores when he plays at home. So, I don't know. If I'm feeling punty, I'll go for Palmer. But then, my boss captain is Haaland. If I had Salah, or if I had a way to get Salah, because he's 13.4 million, there's no way I can get to him. But if I had a way to get Salah, I'll definitely captain him if I got Salah. So I think it's between the three of them, Haaland, Palmer, Salah. What about you? Where you're going?
So I've had faith in Cole Palmer for a few game weeks now. Some have paid up and some not really. And in this final game week of the season, it's all about having fun. I have my triple captain to play, and it's a funny time in the season to have it. But yes, I do have it.
Yes.
And I'll be using that tomorrow for this final game week. So I have things swirl around it, but right now I'm just like, Palma, do your thing. Let's see what will come out.
Interesting. Nice.
It's what we have to do. Enjoy the Fantasy Premier League in itself. I remember when we started the season, we spoke about the headache that it can be. But we didn't mention enough how much fun it is to us, and that's why we enjoy it, as well as the jeu de la passion, the beautiful game. So reward last game week of the season. Do you think anyone overtakes Palmer as the highest points player in FPL this season?
He's currently 12 points ahead of Saka and Watkins, who are tied on 226 points. So, except he has a stinker of a game and blanks, and then Saka or Watkins decides to score a hat-trick or a brace, I don't see any of them catching him. And the Palmer I know will definitely score, get an assist against Bournemouth. So, I feel he's earned that. He's had an amazing season, so he's earned the right to be the highest ranked player in FPL this season. So I don't see any of them catching up with him.
I personally don't think anyone would catch up with him as well. Because I'm going to captain him, so why would they catch him? it's been an enjoyable one reward today, and I look forward to the final game week of the season. All excitement it has in store for us. The twists and turns that could happen on final day. Unfortunately, no battle down there at the relegation spots. But still, way at the top, we have Manchester City and Arsenal still giving the goal for a chance to be crowned champions come end of the season. Reward.
Let's give a special shout out to our mini league guys. I mean, they've come a long way. So in first place, we still have Gaffa, who's just hanging in by a thread with 2,505 points. In second place, Deme is with 2,500 points. So I honestly can't, I don't know. My money's on Gaffa to hold out, because he's been top for almost forever. But Deme is really closing in. So who knows? And both of them have used up all their chips. So, special shout out to Yeni as well. Yeni is now fourth on the table. I don't know how that happened. But Yeni is now fourth. So kudos to him. Vincent makes up his 10th. Who knows, can he hang on to that 10th position? Because Quadri is like breathing down his neck as well. So, but let's see. Exciting times ahead on Sunday. So let's see how it goes and who we crown as the the champion of the Empty Stands Mini League.
All eyes will definitely be on that table as well as the season's curtains comes to a close. Thank you all for staying tuned and listening. Of course, remember to follow us on any platform you listen on. Like, share, and subscribe on those platforms. For now, it's going to be bye from here, from the Empty Stands. But of course, expect the season finale after the curtains eventually close. Reward?
Yeah, cheers, guys. Here's wishing you guys green arrows. Take care.
Cheers, and bye for now.